Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18. When you find your place in your copy of Scripture, would you stand for the reading of our sermon text? This is the word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And then if you would look in chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. When they, the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then if you look down in verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Our Father, we're grateful that you have given to us your holy word, that we might know what has happened in history, that we might be assured of the faithfulness, your faithfulness to fulfill your promises, and that we might be instructed in how we ought to live and believe and trust in you. Teach us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas carols are rightly about Jesus. Jesus should be the focus of Christmas. Oh, it's okay to have a song about Rudolph and Santa and Frosty, but the heart of Christmas is about Jesus, and our attention should be there. Now, some of the Christmas carols are sung from Mary's perspective. We look at the manger through her eyes. Other times, it's from the perspective of the shepherds, and of course, there are the angels and the wise men. We even get it from Bethlehem's perspective and even the animals' perspective on occasion. But I could not recall any Christmas carol from the perspective of Joseph. Now, after service, you might remind me of one. But if you do, you'll have to admit there really aren't a lot of songs that talk about Christmas from Joseph's perspective. And I think that that's not an intentional slight on him. It's just the reality that Well, of all the characters, of all the people that feature in the Christmas story, he's kind of insignificant in a lot of ways. Yet I think it's that very reason Joseph plays a very important part for us to consider. You see, I think Joseph, in a lot of ways, represents the typical, ordinary Christian. You see, God was doing something remarkable in Mary's life. She was going to be the mother of the Son of God. The wise men came fulfilling prophecy that had been given long ago. The shepherds came as the first missionaries who would go and spread the word. The angels were serving God and fulfilling their mission. You know, all of these people, they have such significant roles. And Joseph seems to be the guy, well, he seems to be the guy in the movie that you're watching who's just loading the baggage. You know, nobody cares about that guy. You're interested in the couple who are coming together or who are about to depart from one another or whatever. And in the background, there's this guy just loading, you know, the bags in the taxi or the driver of the taxi. We're not really interested in him. And in some ways, that's kind of what Joseph is. He's just there to kind of get some stuff done. Carry the baggage, make sure everybody gets to where they're supposed to be. But our attention is rightfully on others. Yet Joseph, I think, reflects more of the ordinary, typical Christian experience. And for that reason, I think he is helpful for us to think about this morning. Particularly, I want to think about what it means to live the Christian life in terms of the Christian vocation. Vocation is the call of God in our lives to the work that He would have us to do. When we talk about Christian vocation, we're thinking about the calling that God has placed on each and every one of our lives as believers. To do the task, to do the works that He wants us to do. And this morning, all of us as Christians have a call of God in our lives. All of us have a vocation to fulfill. We can think of vocation in terms of general calling, the general responsibilities that we all have as Christians, that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what time you lived in, or what part of the world you live on. Your calling is the same as every other calling. The calling to believe, the calling to have faith, the calling to pray, the calling to be a person of the Word, the calling to peace, the calling to righteousness, the calling to evangelize, the calling to serve others. This is all general for all of us, and we all have that calling in our lives. And then we have a particular vocation. And these are the specialized, the particular things that you and I are called to do. And that's going to be unique and individual for all of us. You see, not all of us in here are called to stand in the pulpit to preach. Not all of us are called to strum our ukuleles. Some of us, you don't want to hear us strum a ukulele or blow a horn or sing or whatever it is. But that's okay. Because all of us have different callings in our lives. But if you're a Christian, you have a vocation. You have a calling. And Joseph helps us to think about how we fulfill that vocation in our lives. Three things to think about. First of all, fulfilling your Christian vocation requires godly character. To do the work God wants you to do, you have to be a godly person. You won't do God's work unless you are godly. Here in verse 19, we see, chapter 1, verse 19, we see Joseph was a man of conviction. He was faithful to the law. He was a righteous man. He took God's word seriously and he believed the word of God and he held to it. Christians today need to learn to take the Bible seriously. We don't pick and choose. We believe it all, cover to cover. And we let God's word shape and dictate and direct our lives. We have to be willing to be out of step with the culture when it comes to divine revelation. Will we accept God's word as authoritative over us or not? Joseph did. And that created a dilemma for him. It created the first of many crises he was going to face in his life. Because you see, Joseph, as a man of godly character, faced a very difficult question. This woman that he was pledged to marry turned up pregnant. She was going to have a child, and he was not the father. Before the Lord revealed what was going on to him, Joseph logically assumed that Mary had been unfaithful to him. Now, as a righteous man, as a man who was going to be faithful to do what was right and good, he had to make a decision here. And really, the only choice that he felt like he could make was to not marry her. Joseph decided he was going to divorce her. In their culture, in this ancient culture, when you were betrothed, when you were pledged to be married, you were legally bound to one another. And even though the marriage had not been consummated, even though they were not living together as husband and wife, they were still bound legally. And so it was an end of a marriage. It would be akin to us today if you were standing at the altar before the pastor, and the pastor looks at you and says, "Will you take this man, will you take this woman to be your spouse?" And you say, "No, I won't." This was a hard thing. It was a difficult thing. It was a humiliating thing. But Joseph believed it was the right thing to do. But we need to keep reading on in the story. You see, Joseph was not just a man of conviction. He was going to do the right thing. But he was also a man of compassion. He was a man of compassion. You see, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He didn't want to bring her in front of the congregation. He didn't want to bring her in front of the community and say, "I'm not going to marry you because you're an adulteress. Shame on you." He didn't want to do that to her. He knew that she was going to face enough challenges as it was. So he was going to divorce her quietly. He was going to end the marriage, the pledge to be married to her, in as quiet a way as possible to make life a little more bearable for Mary. Joseph felt pity for her. And though he felt spurned and hurt and wounded himself, even though he felt betrayed, he did not want to revisit that on her. As Christians, we deal with sinful people all the time. We deal with people who hurt us and wound us. And if we're going to be people with godly character, we need to learn how to treat others, especially those who hurt us, with compassion. Not vengeance, not hatred, not bitterness, but with compassion and with a willingness to forgive in our hearts. Joseph strikes the right balance between being a man of high moral standards and also a man of mercy toward those who have fallen. Now, you and I know that Mary has not sinned. You and I know that Mary is innocent of any wrongdoing. But Joseph doesn't know that yet. Yet we see Joseph's godly character displayed in the way he's handling a very difficult situation. This morning, I want you to understand, if you're going to do the things God wants you to do, you have to have godly character. You have to be shaped by the Word of God and let that direct your life, and you have to do so with love and compassion and gentleness in your heart. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit comes and interrupts Joseph's life as he's contemplating this, as he's considering this action. The Spirit comes and sends an angel and says, "Joseph, pump the brakes here, buddy. Hold on. I know you're trying to do the right thing, so let me give you a little more information. Let me give you a little more direction." And the Holy Spirit tells Joseph that the child conceived is from the Holy Spirit, that he's to raise this child and care for this child, nurture him. He's to give the child the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. And so here we learn the second requirement for fulfilling our Christian vocation, and that is humble obedience. We all have dreams for our futures. We all have plans that we make the way we want our lives to go and progress. Sometimes we achieve those dreams, but oftentimes things conspire against us to derail those dreams that we have. Things don't go the way that we want them to. And I imagine Joseph had dreams and plans for his life, but never in a million years would he have dreamed that this was about to happen to him. To become a stepfather to the Son of God. To have his life upended and redirected. Yet Joseph trusted the Lord and he obeyed the Lord. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. This is what God had called him to do. What amazing faith he had. This is the heart of what it means to live as a Christian. To trust and obey God, especially when it interferes with your plans and your dreams. Joseph was willing to trust and obey God when God interrupted and redirected his life for his purposes. Will you trust and obey God when God interrupts and redirects your life for his purposes? Maybe the dreams and the plans that you have don't line up with what God is doing. Are you willing to hold them loosely in your hands and freely let them go when God takes them away for something different? If you're going to do the work of God, if you're going to fulfill your Christian vocation, if you're going to answer His call, you have to humbly obey God, especially when God says, go right, when you'd rather go left. When we set out to do the things that God would have us to do, we find it also requires undaunting courage. In chapter 2, we read that things were not easy for Joseph. He took on this great responsibility to raise Jesus as his son. He took the responsibility on to be a faithful father to this child, to love his mother, to provide for them, and also to protect them. And the life God was calling Joseph to was a hard and difficult life, and there were many terrifying moments. The government, King Herod, wanted to kill him. They had to run for their lives in the middle of the night. They had to flee. Having a young child is hard enough. Any parents want to testify to that? Having to run for your life with a child. Can you imagine? They became refugees running to Egypt to escape the rage of Herod and his family. Was Joseph afraid? You better believe it. You better believe he was afraid. But he did not quit or run away or curl up into a little ball. He pressed on with undaunted courage, trusting in God, listening to Him, and letting God guide and direct him. Courage comes because no matter what is going to happen to us in this world, God will preserve our eternal souls. Nothing that we sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom, nothing that we give up in this world for the sake of Christ will ever be truly lost. Jesus, later on in his ministry, would say this in Luke 18, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. When you answer God's call, when you say yes to the vocation that God has for you, to live as a Christian and faithfully follow Him, it will lead you through some difficulties and challenges. You will sacrifice and you will suffer, but you will not lose anything. You will gain so much more. And that's where our courage comes from. Joseph is in many ways a very minor character in the story of the Bible. We read about him here in Matthew 1 and 2. He is mentioned in Luke 2. And then later on in Jesus' adult life, he is referred to on a couple of occasions. But many of his words, the things that he did, were not told. The next time we see Joseph actually on the stage, the next time we actually see Joseph alive and active was 12 years down the road when Jesus was about 12 years old. And he was at the temple with his parents for one of the celebrations. Joseph and Mary left. We're going back home. They realized, oh, wait a minute, Jesus isn't with us. And they turn around and go back to Jerusalem and search for him for 3 days. And even there, it's Mary who does all the talking. Maybe you understand that, guys. It's your house. Joseph is a relatively quiet man, but he is a faithful man. And he answered God's call. We assume that by the time Jesus began his public ministry, when he was 30 years old, Joseph had died, because there's no more references to him in Scripture. That's an assumption on our part, but it's a reasonable assumption. We don't know much about anything else that he did other than he was a carpenter. Yet we know the most important thing. We know he is a hero of the faith because everything in his life aimed at bringing the Savior safely into this world. That was his one job. That was his task. And he did it well. Your job, my job, our Christian vocation is to have godly character, surrender ourselves to God's will, allowing Him to interrupt our lives for His purposes, and to be courageous as we follow God's plan for us. The reason that we do this is because the world needs the Savior. Chapter 1, verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph realized that God's plan and purpose for him was far bigger, far greater than anything else he could come up with on his own. And he knew the world needed a Savior. So he said yes to what God wanted. Will you say yes to God today? Friends, it begins with recognizing Jesus as your Savior and Lord, knowing that you are a sinner under God's judgment, but Jesus died on the cross for your sins and He rose from the dead. The Bible says, if you will confess your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And as you take that step, you continue to surrender your life and you say, whatever you want, Lord, I give it to you. Whatever your call, I will answer. Will you do that today? Heavenly Father, help us to hear your call. Help us to surrender our lives that we might fulfill the vocation you have for us. Because the world needs Jesus. And in whatever way, in whatever capacity, each and every one of us are called to play a part in bringing Jesus to the nations, sharing and proclaiming and spreading the gospel. Father, help us to surrender our lives. Help us to give up our personal dreams and embrace your vision and your plan, your kingdom purpose. And in doing so, may we find greater joy and greater fulfillment than we have ever imagined. And Father, I pray this morning that those who are not Christians will hear your call. The call to believe, the call to repent, and may they do it even as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.